Our scripture reading this evening will come from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and John 18, 15 to 18. This is the precious Word of God. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the Word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the one of the boats, and the other belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat, and they came to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn over to John chapter 16. And I'm sorry, my bifocals are tricking me. 15 through 18. And this is Peter's first denial. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because the disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty, and then brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples, too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around the fire that made them and kept them warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. May God add a blessing to the reading of this, his holy word.
So, hello everyone. You know, time for sure goes really fast. Last time that I saw DK, he was 75, you know? And today, 103. Oh God. And he's still doing great, right, DK? Amen. Thank you for sharing from your heart, Tony. You know, that resonates in my heart. This past Thursday, my wife and I, we celebrate our 17th anniversary in Canada. So, and that, you know, brought up some memories and some tears as well. It wasn't easy, but we trust that we are doing what God asked us to do, and that's the best place that one can be. Amen? So, tonight, we'll be reflecting on a character in the Bible that it's maybe one of my favorites. You know, we learned so much from him, from Peter. And when he was called, back then called Simon, right? He had no doubt about what he should be doing. He had no idea what would happen with him. By the time he had already heard about Jesus Christ, And now he had a chance to meet him personally. Maybe he was so bored with his life, fisherman, he could not wait for a new adventure and some good action. So when Peter heard Jesus' staggering words, his heart flooded with the prospect of finding a higher purpose for his life. This man just miraculously filled our boats with fish. Fisher of men? Whatever that means, I mean. For Peter, anything else could be more exciting than fishing. Or, in his case, not fishing, right? Just spending the night sitting on a boat and catching nothing. So, and by the way, attention fishermen in the room. Fishing is a great sport. I love it. And I know you have great stories there, but we'll save those for another time, maybe over a coffee. Invite me. You know, I will give you the credit to believe in you then. So Peter immediately said, "What? Yes! Let's go for some adventure." And as we saw in the text, he left everything behind and followed Jesus Christ. From that point on, Peter was learning from Jesus Christ himself. He was far from being the rock where Jesus Christ would build his church. He needed to be mentored, trained, and shaped. So while following Jesus, he had seen so many miracles. Blind people could see again. Crippled people would walk again. Those with leprosy were healed. Dead came back to life. Crowds of thousands of men, plus their wife and children, were fed with just a few loaves and fish. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Moreover, the deaf could hear again, the mute could speak, the paralyzed could walk. And the list goes on and on. And John, on chapter 21, verse 25, he says, "And there are also many, many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen? So Peter and the other disciples had the privilege to witness most of those miracles that we heard about. They had the best seats in the house, so they were walking, talking, and learning straight from Jesus Christ. How awesome was that? How great experience was that? Just seeing people get healed and all the time, right? All the time. Peter was so passionate to follow and learn from Jesus Christ that he was ready to take up his sword when Jesus was arrested. He would defend his master with his life. At least, that was his intention. So, that passionate guy who wanted to fight for Jesus and had said in Matthew 16, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And also in Mark chapters 8 and 14, "Even if all the rest lose their faith and fall away, I will still be beside you, Jesus. I will be faithful. I will remain faithful to you." But that man who made those powerful statements would soon swear he had never heard about Jesus, as we read in John 18, there from 15 to 18. At that moment, he would swear he was not one of his followers. He had not only done that once, but in fact, three times. Where was his passion then? Where was his commitment to fight for Jesus Christ? So, after Jesus Christ died on the cross, Peter was disappointed. He was discouraged. He could not believe what had just happened. All that he saw and had experienced with Jesus Christ, was it all in vain? Would he still have hope? No. His hope was gone. How about his faith? Gone. How about his passion? All gone. He went silent. He had no reason to continue because the promised king who came to set them free and had performed so many amazing miracles, he was dead. Gone. His master was gone. He had lost his sense of direction. His heart was now empty, and he had no purpose for his life. He was really discouraged. The big question for Peter was, what do I do now? Even though he had experienced and learned straight from Jesus Christ, he did not know what to do then. He had made the decision, as we see in John chapter 21, verse 3, the first part of the verse, he told the disciples, and he was a leader, a natural leader. He told the disciples, you know what? I'm going back fishing. And they all replied, we will go with you. So they followed him. And what did that mean for Peter? He was back in his comfort zone. Remember that we spoke about our comfort zone last week. He was going back to do something he was a master. The exact same life that he had before Jesus Christ called him for all that adventure. All that experience he had with Jesus Christ sounded like a dream that unfortunately had become a nightmare that he had just woken up from it. So, what do we learn from that? Separation hurts, right? As we just lost our beloved Pastor Brain, separation is hard. And do you know why separation may be the hardest and most painful situation people can ever experience in their lives? Because we are still experiencing the effects of the sin caused by the fall in Eden. God had created us for eternity. He created us to be relational beings. We need people in our lives, even though some still think they can go through life alone. That's a mistake. Right? That's a huge mistake. So death was not in place before the fall. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God's instructions, they fell. With the fall came sin. With sin came separation between man and God, and death took its hold on humanity. That's why it's painful. Because death separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. And we, as Christians, are not immune to that pain caused by that separation. We just lost a close friend, a man who did his best to live a life according to God's heart. By no means he wasn't perfect, as we are not perfect, right? We are far from that. But Pastor Brin had dedicated his life to serve God. And we have the comfort to know where he is, as Brother Richard shared, right? But the pain caused by the separation creates this big empty hole, especially for those who were closer to him. His widow, Bonnie, his kids and grandkids. And Christ is the only one who can bring comfort and peace to their lives. So, and if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, like Bryn did, you have the hope, the assurance, and the comfort that one day you will be reunited with your dear brother when you are welcomed home by your Heavenly Father. Amen? We're going to see him again. And again, I want to urge you, please, if you have not committed and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, please do that today, as you never know when death will check in. God has invited you to a personal relationship with him. Jesus Christ is the only one who can restore your broken relationship with God, so you can experience the eternal life that he offers you. And that's why Jesus gave his life on that cross, to pay the price for the sin that keeps humans separated from their God. For Cowboy Trail Church, Bryn was an essential part of this church as a pastor for 19 years. So since its beginning, February 1st, 2005. So, and it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Sadness can be overwhelming, can be devastating. And as I said, the pain and discouragement are there. These feelings are normal after we lose someone so close to us. If we are discouraged, we may want to do what Peter did. Just go fishing. You may see this loss as a reason to go fishing. You may want to go fishing now, whatever fishing means to you, right? It's not literal. It's easy to just give up, stop everything, and we all go back to do what we are good at, back to our comfort zone, back to enjoying our lives. And we all may have different reasons why we go fishing. In Peter's case, as we saw, he had lost his passion when his master and friend Jesus Christ was crucified and died on that rugged cross. Thankfully, God had not given up on Peter. While he was back fishing with the other disciples, something powerful happened. As we see in John chapter 24, the second part of verse 3 to verse 6, it says, "They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, again, they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' So they did cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish." Wait a minute. Can you imagine what was going on Peter's mind? He had seen that before, right? So all that he had experienced with Jesus Christ, all those years had come back to him in few seconds, like a movie, like a flashback. Now, can you imagine his excitement? All that wasn't in vain. The Jesus that he had experienced was alive. He was victorious over death. Yes, Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Now, Peter had hope again. His faith was restored. He could not hold back his joy. On verse 7, we see that one of the disciples said, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea because he wanted to see and touch and talk with Jesus Christ and experience him again. So, Peter's story reminds us that even in our weakest moments, God can use our willingness to step out of our comfort zone to accomplish His purpose. By His grace, Jesus Christ restored Peter's life and passion. From that moment on, Peter was ready to be used by God to transform lives as our Lord Jesus had transformed his. The Peter we read about in the four Gospels, who was immature and impulsive, by the grace of God became the Peter we read in the book of Acts and the two epistles that he wrote. He had become the rock that Jesus Christ said he would be for his church, and was powerfully used by God, by the Holy Spirit, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and start his church. So, in the question for us as a church today is, what do you do now? We need time to grieve our loss. And I want to say something here to you. One of the first recommendations for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one is not to make big decisions or big commitments. Okay? So, it's not wise to make big decisions or big commitments. So, slow down. CTC, slow down. Now it's time to stay together and hold the fort together by humbling ourselves down on our knees, fasting and praying before the Lord as a church. Before the Lord, one body, one church where Jesus Christ is the head, seeking and trusting God together for His guidance. I would urge you, even if you think that this is the time to make those big changes, please pause, hit the pause button. Reflect, hold back. Now it's time to encourage each other, to share the load with each other. You have an opportunity to step up and help, so please do that. This body needs your hand, needs your help. As you are part of this body, stand up, get involved. Get involved. Ask how you can help. And also, one thing that's really important, and we cannot just overlook that, it's important to support this church body financially as well. So, when pastors talk about money, people have chills. You know, but We worship God through our giving. It's an act of worship. We're trusting Him for His blessings on our lives. And when we don't give, we just miss the blessings. We are the ones that are missing those. So experience the Lord's blessings on your life by giving. I'm sure that I could ask lots of people in the room here how they had experienced that. And they will say, yes, it is a blessing. So do that. And remember, this is a transition time for CTC. We trust God that things will get better, and they will. Amen? So focus at this point, focus on staying open, getting more people connected and involved. People who are really committed to serve Jesus Christ at Cowboy Trail Church. And you may ask, where we find them? We want to look for those people. We want to get them. We want to get them involved. So we don't have a mirror here. But remember that. When you get to your house and you see that person in the mirror in front of you, you say, oh, that was the person that Paul was mentioned tonight that needs to get more involved with CTC. Amen? So, and if you're just out there fishing like Peter was, I want to tell you as well that that's a dangerous place to be. Please, wake up. God wants to use you. In Revelation, you know, Christ, in Revelation chapter 3, Christ warns us himself when he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Do you get how serious is that position where we're just lukewarm? Just, you know, enjoying the ride without getting involved? Without doing what God calls us to do as a new creation in Him? We are all called. We are responsible to do that. So, and when you refuse to do what God wants from you, you are the one missing out on the blessings. Because God will get someone else. And they will get the blessing that you are supposed to get. So, if you allow the pain to take over, if you don't seek God's presence and direction, our discouragement will certainly lead us to close the doors. Remember, the good news for you and me is that as Jesus was Peter's Lord, He is still our Lord today. Amen? Jesus is the Lord of our present, and Jesus is the Lord of our future. So, and God had not given up on CTC. Amen? So Christ is the head of this church, and God is not done with it. God is still asking this church body to trust and obey Him. He still has a plan. He still has a future for Cowboy Trail Church to continue to impact lives with the good news of Jesus Christ for eternity. That's the beauty of it. We'll bless someone here, but we'll bless them for all eternity. And we need to get as many people as we can, you know. I always use this illustration that I want to go to heaven in a big bus filled with people. J- Jesus Christ is the only solution to solve the separation pain and problems caused by sin. He is inviting you personally to trust your life and obey Him. So, if you have a chance to experience what He will be doing by using you and Cowboy Trail Church to impact this town. So you have a chance to experience what He will be doing here and in the Tower of Cochrane. So please don't miss the journey, don't miss this opportunity, and don't miss the blessings, because they will come. So Tony was talking about the promises of God. He will reward each one of you guys with the most amazing blessings He can give. So by trusting and obeying God to keep this church going, we'll please Him and honor also Pastor's brain memory and legacy. So, and I know that this church has been a blessing. These 19 years has been blessing so many people. So many people. Myself, for instance, you know, for once. So when I moved to Cochrane and I started attending the seminary, you know, I started to come here to help Cowboy Church, and you guys would send us an offering every month. Every month. What a blessing it was. When you guys do that, you are investing in eternity. Right? I just want to close here with two verses from Philippians. The first one is in chapter 2, where Paul says, "For it's God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." And the second one is the same one that I closed the sermon last week. "We are confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And the church says, amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this service tonight. Thank You for being here with us, Lord. Your Spirit is moving in our midst. Father God, this would just be words tossed to the wind, Lord, if Your Spirit don't speak to people. So I pray that You help, Lord, everyone that's listening to this message tonight, that Your Holy Spirit, Lord, will be working on them. Father God, helping them to understand what You want from them, Lord. And Father God, I pray Your blessings over Cowboy Trail Church. I'm so thankful for this church, Lord, and for all the blessings that this church has been to the town of Cochrane and for the people of Cochrane. So we pray, Lord, that You continue to use this church, Lord, according to Your will. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.